Roll call, please.
Chairman Highlander.
Here.
Vice Chairman Jones.
Here.
Mr. Galloway. Mrs. Lennon.
Here.
Mrs. Robinson.
Here.
Mr. Smith.
Here.
Mr. Testerman.
Here.
Mrs. Thurman.
Here.
Mr. Wingate.
Here.
Thank you. Our first order of business is to verify the contract of employment between Dr. Brian Johnson and the Hamilton County Board of Education. I would like to say, too, I would like to commend our attorney and for working with his attorney, and he and I have worked along their side, and it has been a very strenuous process, has it not, Mr. Bennett? We have been a lot of hours put into it, trying to meet in the middle and meet everyone's needs, both the county and the new director. But I commend you for your hard work, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Holland.
Are there any discussions? Do you have any questions of Mr. Bennett about the contract? Do you want to look over it and see if you have any questions for him? We have really worked hard on this, haven't we, sir?
We have, and members of the board, I think I also need to recognize Dr. Highlander. He has been available to give me input at a moment's notice. There have been several times I've needed educators' input, and he's been extremely helpful. And I think the board should be well aware of the leadership that Dr. Highlander's provided through this process, too.
Well, thank you. Thank you, sir.
Do we need to make a motion and then have discussion, or are we just talking to you?
Pleasure of the board, but a motion would be appropriate.
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept the contract? And then we have a second, and then we have discussion. Do we have the motion?
I'll make the motion.
Motion by Mr. Ingate. Second?
I'll second.
By Mrs. Lennon? Okay. Now we have Ms. Thurman?
Yes, there's a few things in the contract, and I talked to Scott about this. A few things in here that just were kind of give me heartburn. One of their performance raises, I'd much rather those be bonuses than raises, but I just don't like adding that much money to his salary. Of course, a lot of these benchmarks are almost unattainable, I would say, but I hope that doesn't look bad for him if he doesn't meet these benchmarks, because these benchmarks are pretty high, and I know we put them there for a reason, because that's where we want to be. Another thing that I had a big problem with, and I know that, as Scott has said, that I guess his attorney just won't go for it, is I don't like the fact that the superintendent gets a raise when teachers get a raise. I think we have a contract with the teachers, and we have a contract with him. And I think those are two entirely different things, because there's sometimes a group of people that can get a raise without another group of people getting a raise, and I just don't like the fact that the superintendent gets a raise when the teachers get a raise. I didn't like it when Jesse Register did it, or Dr. Scales, or Rick, or anybody, so this is nothing new for me. But that was just those are a couple of things that give me heartburn, and I hope, Scott, in doing all this, that we have yet to finalize our evaluations, right, for the superintendent, our evaluation survey that you send out to school board. That's the evaluation that we're going to use to measure his performance. Am I correct?
Actually, and I think Dr. Highlander has something you may want to – I saw his hand go up.
If I may address that, what I would like to do with the board's approval is to get a committee to look at, do research, and what we have been using in the past is just the very generic TASBA one, and I think we need to get one that needs to be more in line with our strategic plan.
Well, I do too. That's what I was wondering. How are we going to evaluate? Because there has to be another way that we can terminate a contract. Like I said, I don't want to get caught with another buyout. And so I want to be sure that we know exactly what we're looking at, and that he knows exactly what we're looking at. So as soon as we can get that evaluation done, we need to do that so we can know what we're looking at.
And he will know. And also he will know what standards he needs to live up to, which I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
And he will have input on that. It's our decision, but of course, if you look at the contract, he will have input on that. But I mean, the final say will be up to the board. But there are quite a few. You can go online and find just a plethora of different contracts for superintendents out there, and I'm going to put a committee together and have them, and I would like to be on it, but I don't want to chair it, and let them work with, and he can have input on what he thinks is important. And we did ask for self-evaluation from him, too. Mr. Bennett?
Sure. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, reference the contract that we have in Section 11. Section 11A, well, actually, Section 11, the entire portion, but the B portion of that talks about how we will work on an agreement. Well, we have to have something where we sit down and talk by August 30th of the preceding year. So I have a question, I guess, to piggyback on Rhonda's. In that case, for next year's evaluation, we need to have something in place by this August 30th, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay. And if responding to Ms. Thurman's questions, and I'll take that one first. Ms. Thurman, your point about the buyout, I totally understand it. That was something that I understood from the board very, very clearly. The thing about a contract is that there's a someone has a right to continued employment, and so it can only be terminated in accordance with what the contract says. And so what we have to do is we have to either there are a couple ways we've limited that. One of them, you'll notice in the very, very first paragraph, it says that the board's not going to consider extending the contract until the end of the third year. And so you're not going to have the problem that you've noted for many years, that someone always seems to have close to a four-year contract. You're going to have 3 years before you look at an extension. So that's one thing to sort of cut against that problem. The second thing is, what this contract, and this is the reason this contract took so long, is because Dr. Highlander and I were trying to put together things that really address what this board needs and expects from its director, and then get agreement with Dr. Johnson's attorney about what that looks like. And so there's the references to his duties, the references to the evaluations, focusing specifically on his duties. And as Ms. Jones said, if you look in 11B, and this gets back to what the chair said, there really is going to need to be an evaluation committee that starts to pull together what your strategic plan looks like now and what Dr. Johnson's success looks like under the terms of that plan. Mm-hmm. And there you lay out benchmarks, not just contract benchmarks, but what you expect him to do. You tell him how you're going to grade him. And then if you look at the next section here under 12A, and this is something that Dr. Johnson asked for. He's asked for a meeting by September 1st, which is the day after the evaluation, where the board and the directors sit down and talk about how they're going to work together. So what we've got, I hope, addresses that big concern. You didn't want a situation where you're sort of in limbo of the contract. You have a director who hasn't technically violated the contract, but you're not happy. Here, if you're not happy, it's because you haven't followed the contract. There are things built in here for y'all to lay out expectations and to have him follow those expectations. Let's see. With regard to the teacher raises, Honestly, the reference to teacher raises, that's something that's very common in Tennessee superintendent contracts. The reason it's in here, because and in fact, I anticipated that would be an issue, Ms. Thurman, and so I pushed on that. And the reality here is that the Hamilton County school system has always paid its superintendents less than similarly sized districts in the country. Now, that is of absolutely no consequence if that's what the market is, and I understand,
I don't care.
As nearly as I could, I passed along that my board member would not care. but the point, and I say that with humor, the recognition was that if we're not going to start out with a very high base, which was the ask, given the size of the system and the fact that he has a doctorate. The middle ground was a lower base and participating in the teacher raises, even if he gets these performance raises. Now, so you asked a great question. Why are these bonuses and not raises?
No, why are they raises and not bonuses?
I'm sorry, why are these raises and not bonuses? And that's also a really good question. And what it kind of drills down to is Dr. Johnson has touted what he did in Clarksville, Montgomery County. and he's done some tremendous things. And so if he can do that here, then the argument is he's probably making less than he's earning under this contract. But how would we know? Because as has been pointed out, this is his first job as a superintendent. So in a sense, while he has tremendous potential, the potential is yet unrealized. You may have gotten a gold star, an undiscovered gold star, in which case he's already underpaid. And so the thought is, if he hits these benchmarks, which is what he did in Clarksville, Montgomery County, then he himself will adjust his base up to where he thinks it ought to be. So it's sort of an opportunity. You think you can do this? Prove it. That's the best way that I can answer how we got there. It's very ambitious. You're absolutely right. But they think that they can do it. And honestly, I think if he gets a composite score, overall score of 5 on T-Boss, I think the last thing people will be asking is, why are you paying him that bonus? But maybe I'm wrong.
Well, that's not a bad pay for a first superintendent, I'll just tell you. $197,500. And
Okay. If I may, Mr. Chairman, since what I sent out to the board earlier today, there was one thing that I that was added. I spoke with Dr. Johnson's attorney, and we'll call your specific attention to it. If you look on, page 3, the very, very top, one of the things that Dr. Highlander mentioned to me that I really hadn't thought about is, in the event that schools, that the lower performing schools may leave the jurisdiction of Hamilton County and go into the state, it's possible that could affect the scores, the overall scores of the district. And so what we did was we included language that says if your scores go up because the lower performing ones are removed, he didn't get credit for that. So that is an addition from what you got earlier today.
He gets this, so there's only a chance of him earning this to pay one time, each one of these one time. Or he can get up to a 4 and then to a 5, but if he gets it to 5, he gets $15,000.
If he gets up to a 5 and drops back to a 3 and then gets it back up to a 4, he doesn't get the same raise twice.
That's what I'm
right.
Saying.
I ask the same thing. I want to make sure
Dr. Highlander.
Yes, sir.
Could I say something?
Swing it, sure.
I was going to say, as far as the evaluation instrument, that's something we've all known. I mean, we've been talking about that for a while. So I'm glad to see, that we are going to try to do something in that regard, more detailed than what's been used in the past. And I will agree with you, Ms. Thurman, the under the performance raises, it is ambitious, but he's agreed to it, he's agreed to it, and...
Well, I just don't want it to make him look bad.
I'm with you.
I'm as concerned on his end, and it could backfire more than I am.
If I could say this, a comment with him, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Bennett, but he welcomed the challenge. I said, he would like to have a little more to start with because most superintendents get more. But Mr. Bennett and I said, do you feel like you're capable of bringing it up what you did? I sure do. I said, well, would you be willing to? He said, "Yeah, I would. I'll take it as a challenge." And so he is a young man who's very confident in his ability to bring it up. So, he did not seem to question. He took it in a very positive vein, don't you think, Mr. Bennett?
I do, and as I've explained to Ms. Thurman, who may charge her customers a base, but if they do a good job, if she does a good job, she gets a little bit more. If she made me look like Geraldo Rivera, maybe she gets a little bit more. If I look like the Frito Bandito.
I would not pay me if I was you.
If I looked the Frito Bandito, maybe not so
Frito
much.
Frito Bandito, that's what you look like. No, but if you're talking about 30-year-old, I don't know a 30-year-old man that's not real confident of himself. So that's can you remember that far back?
What are you saying, Ms. Thurman?
You know what I'm saying. So, I appreciate his... But I had a talk with him about some of those kinds of things as well when I met with him for over about an hour and a half, 15 minutes. So, I mean, I like him. He's very likable. I talked to him some things about that were a great concern to me. You know, and I don't have a problem with, you know, something that he agreed to this. I just don't want it to make him look bad as well. But those are just, and I don't want people to teach to the test. I don't want principals and all to feel under the gun to, afraid they'll lose their job if the superintendent don't get his raise. You know, those are the kinds of things that bother me. I mean, the principals have enough to deal with. The teachers in the classroom have enough to deal with without adding another layer of pressure on them. I think that's what gives me angst about this. I just don't want them to feel like, well, if we don't do this, the superintendent won't get a raise, and they may move me. I may end up at some school I don't want to be at or whatever. Those are the kinds of things that bother me.
And Ms. Thurman, those are some really good points. And so really, we spent a lot of time struggling with what the right metrics were. You may recall one of the original things that we were kicking around was attendance or graduation rate. And I think you made a really good point that if you do that, then maybe a kid who maybe needs to go to the house, maybe needs to be disciplined, maybe he stays because principals don't want to affect their attendance rates. And so we were kicking around what were some of the metrics that were important to the mission of the board and the public's confidence. And that's why we chose these three metrics. The first, really, there are two metrics. The first one is the third grade success rate, which is the percentage of students who pass reading, math, and science. And so if he can move the success rate, the third grade success rate, 10 percentage points, not by 10%, 10 percentage points, he gets that raise. And that's something that this board's been very concerned about for the last 18 months is, are our third graders learning? And so if you ask that question, he says, evaluate me on whether I can push that ball.
Jones in just a second. I want to add something he stated there that I thought was pretty important. He stated to me in conversation. He said, you know, while I appreciate the rewarding me, he said, I would hope that we could come up with money to reward the teachers and principals too. He said, I really would like to do that. And I do think that shows this board's commitment to academic achievement. But he said, I would love to see not just me, but I'd love to see the people with boots on the ground get a raise also.
And within that same vein, you see the reference to TVOS scores, the value added scores. That really is a number that's a little harder to tie to anything specific because you can move it in different ways. But the reality of it is that the state evaluates this system on your TVOS scores, and the public evaluates the effectiveness of the administration on the basis of TVOS scores. And so that was one of those things that he welcomed the challenge to push.
Thanks, sir. Ms. Jones.
I just wanted to note that I know initially when we were talking about the contract, we did talk about performance raises. I think it never came across as bonuses. Just make sure, if I'm making sure I'm remembering right, I'm asking my peers. Secondly, with that, the question about the teacher raises, I mean, the superintendent receiving teacher raises such as the teachers would, I reviewed Rick's previous contract and Dr. Scales' previous contract, and that language was both in those as well. And correct me if I'm wrong on this or help me with this, Scott, because I'm thinking in my rational, to rationalize that, because even though they are superintendent, they're still, according to the state, licensed educators. And so when those mandates or funds come out from the governor or so forth and so on, are they still falling under that category as well? Or, I mean, I was just trying to rationalize it in my mind, but I did note in the other two previous contracts that we did that. Right, and their salaries actually they superseded this salary here. So I was just wanting to make sure that the public was aware that it's not like we're doing something new or it hadn't been done before, even with a higher salary.
Okay. Any other comments? We've had a motion and a second. Mr. Parliamentarian, are we ready for the vote?
Mr. Chairman, I mean to make an observation. It's been pointed out to me that there's a typo. I mean, I don't know how many times two lawyers looked at this and everyone else did, but the contract is for 260 days. It's not 240. I've texted Mr. Johnson's attorney, and she's aware of that, so we fixed that.
Where is that?
Page 4, top of page 4.
I didn't catch that either.
So the minutes will reflect that that's the correct work here.
260.
One other thing, Steve. I just hope when Dr. Johnson gets here, maybe he can justify this higher salary by doing some rearrangement. We did talk to him. I did talk to him. I don't know if anyone else did or not, about some things in the schools that in the central office and different places that might be done in a different way. So hopefully, maybe he can recoup some of his salary for us. That's what I'm hoping for, maybe doing things a little bit different. Thank you.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Bennett. His salary is a little less than Rick Smith's was. Is that correct?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
So, okay, I want that on the record. So. Any other comments before we vote? Okay, Ms. Ford?
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mrs. Lennon?
Yes.
Mrs. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Testerman?
Yes.
Mrs. Thurman?
Yes.
Mr. Wingate?
Yes.
Chairman Holland?
Yes. So we are unanimous.
Congratulations. Y'all have a new superintendent.
Thank you. Mr. Galloway had a church obligation this evening, but he did say that he had looked at this at the last minute and said he did approve as well. So, of course, it's not an official vote, but he did say that he approved as well. Okay, moving on to consideration of independent contractors application brought forward by Ms. Thurman.
I just did not know how you wanted to do this, but I would just like to make the motion that Tony Sneed be considered for this board for to be an independent contract bus driver. I think there was an error on his application, and so I would just like for this board to consider, since he will be our employee. He was one of the 15 initial new contractors that signed on, and there was a problem with his application. And since they're drawing I think they're drawing the routes tomorrow, I think, that in order to for Tony to be able to be involved in that process, we needed to handle it this way. And so I would like for the board to approve Tony Sneed as a contract bus driver.
Okay, and that's the motion. We have a second. Then we'll
second.
I'm going to second that because I'd like to hear some discussion on what took place.
Okay, Ms. Thurman, do you want to? And then also I want Mr. Bennett to comment on the legal issues of it.
Okay. There was Mr. Sneed, I think it was 13 years ago. Well, first of all, when he filled out his application, there was a question on there, have you ever been arrested? And he answered no. And the reason he answered no was 13 years ago he was arrested for reckless driving. And he went to court, and the reason they arrested him is they told him he had to take a breathalyzer, and he had been to the doctor and had a real bad chest cold, and he tried to explain that to the police officer that he didn't know if he could blow hard enough, and he even asked me if I'd ever had to blow one of those, and I have not. I'm crazy sober. So anyway, he said that he could not blow, so they got him for noncompliance. But he was not non-compliant. He just could not do it. He told that to the judge. The judge at that time was Judge Moon. Judge Moon heard his argument. He had his documentation there where he had been to the doctor. He had his medication there that he was taking this medication. He explained it to Judge Moon, and Judge Moon said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this off your record. We're going to expunge it from the record, if you will go out and do 3 days picking up trash and just get this reckless driving, the whole kit and caboodle off your record, and it shouldn't be any more problem for you. He said, fine. He went back, had did the 3 days. Judge Moon assured him he would handle it. Well, fast forward 13 years later, it shows up that he was arrested. And he thought all these years it was gone. So we called the courthouse. I called Gary Starnes, actually. And Gary checked on it, and he did tell me that there were some judges that didn't always do their follow-up paperwork, and if the follow-up paperwork's not done, things don't get handled. So he sent it upstairs to another judge, Don Poole, and Don Poole looked at it, looked at all the documentation. He said, this won't be any problem. And so, therefore, he went ahead, and in a matter of about 2 weeks, they got this done. He had it expunged from the records. Now there is no record of this at all. You can't find it at the courthouse. There's nothing there. And I've known Tony for probably 14 years or so, I guess, 13, 14 years. I don't know. He coached my nephew's ball team. I knew the Sneeds from up on the mountain, up on Mowbray Mountain. But Tony's a good guy. He's exactly the kind of guy that I want driving my grandson, who is 5 years old, starts school in August. He's exactly the kind of guy I would want driving a school bus for my grandson, and he could go, really, he could go to Durham tomorrow and drive a school bus. So it's not the fact that he wouldn't be able to drive a school bus. It's the fact that they said he lied on his application, and I just don't see that as a lie because, you know, I mean, you're in a catch-22. I said, now if he fills out another application and he says he was arrested, is he lying because they can't find a record of it? So, you know, I think since there's the direction that we're heading for wanting to have more contract bus drivers, Tony's exactly the kind of driver that I would like to see. And so I think Tony's out here, and there he is. And so if, you know, if anybody else wants to ask me a question, him a question, or Scott a question, the reason that the board is able to do this is the independent contractors, and I spoke with Tiffany about this before. Before I got the legal questions answered by Scott, that he actually works for the board and not HCDE. He is employed by the board as a contractor, just like somebody that works on our printers or any other contractor that we have.
Like a vendor.
Like a vendor. And so so Tiffany and I were talking that really there needs to be a little bit different process, I think. Maybe let the school system do the background checks and then, because we're the ones who have to approve the contractors, the vendors anyway. So do a little bit, maybe look at the process that we use to do this. So, but anyway, that's, you know, my situation with this, that we found out that we could approve it as a board and not have to go through HCDE and all the ramifications with that. So
I will say I appreciate HR doing these background checks and yes, looking these things up, and even though for our vendors, even though it's not directly employee, which I've come to understand, I didn't know before, but we do appreciate your doing the background checks very much. So, got a motion and a second. Well, any other? Yes.
Well, within that vein, just to explain the context, the school system is able to go through the reason that y'all are not inundated every month by having to approve individual vendors is that the state law gives you the authority to delegate to the administration the vetting of these processes. That's why y'all don't have to open 100 bids that deal with mashed potatoes or milk or whatever else. Instead, you get you know, one item for approval. Where there is a vendor who says, wait a second, I've been barred from this, they can reach across and appeal to the board. And so that's procedurally why this is here. And you're right, this is sort of a new era because these folks have been employees, but now they're bus companies. And so they are like any other vendor. So going forward, this process will probably look different, but it's evolving because y'all are still going to depend upon your administration to recommend whether these people have the requisite insurance, the requisite training, et cetera. So I would be guarded about reaching across the administration too much. And I would, for the record, I would maybe clarify something. I can't speak for the administration. I don't think that he falsified his application. I think he failed to disclose something on the application. And there's a There is a difference.
Don't get into this, what the meaning of is again. I'm seriously.
Well.
I mean, I understand. Yeah. I understand. It's legalese, and I understand that.
It's more than legalese. No one would accuse Mr. Sneed of willfully failing to disclose this, but the administration is following protocols, and it can only go by what the protocols say. And I can let HR speak for itself. But anyway, that's procedurally why this is before the board right now.
Any other comments or questions for HR, for Mr. Sneed, for Ms. Thurman?
Let's vote. We have a motion and a second.
We've got a motion and a second. Call for the vote, please.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mrs. Lennon?
Yes.
Mrs. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Testerman?
Yes.
Mrs. Thurman?
Yes.
Mr. Wingate?
Yes.
Chairman Highlander?
Yes. Thank you all very much. Welcome, Mr. Sneed. Now we have other. We have other motions that need to be made.
Not necessarily a motion, but a proposal. At our last meeting, we discussed starting a committee to dive into the state proposal. The state partnership. I made that suggestion that Ms. Jones and I head up a committee around that. We'd like to ask that the board come together next week or at the very latest the following week on the 24th to start that work around the proposal.
You're talking about a workshop or a committee?
I'm sorry, a work session. But, I mean, in my opinion, it is my opinion, and I would like to hear Chris's, but I think there is much work to be done on this, and I don't think that one work session will solve all of our problems or answer all of our questions. I think it's ideal to wait until Dr. Johnson has started. I think that's what we discussed before we started the meeting. So I'd like to ask that we have a work session on the 24th, or, you know, if that's not feasible for everyone that wants to be a part of it, then at some point early that week. But, I mean, you know, Ms. Jones and I feel very strong, and I apologize if I'm speaking out of turn for you, but, I mean, this is such an incredibly important situation and an important topic. We have we've chosen our superintendent. That was, you know, one of the big hurdles the board had to get through, and now we are on to probably, in my opinion, the most important hurdle, which is figuring out what we're going to do with our eyes on schools. And Ms. Jones and I have had a community forum. We've attended community forums. We're this week having sessions with Candace McQueen. And so, you know, we have a lot of information that we need to share with the board, but we also need to hear from our fellow board members on where your minds are on this topic. And so, again, I'd like to ask that the board come together, or, you know, again, if there's only a select number of people that want to work on this, that we meet the week of the 24th with Dr. Johnson to start due diligence on this process.
We've got a motion to have a workshop.
Second.
Second?
Chairman,
you have a motion and a second there, right?
Okay, a motion and second. Do we need that? We don't even need that for workshop?
Okay. The chair can just set it.
Okay, pardon me?
You can just set it.
Okay. So.
Just a question. I don't think it was mentioned. When is Dr. Johnson's official start date?
17th.
The 17th.
Yes, sir.
Well, may I comment here? He told me that he will try, but he has to work out, you know, a release from them. And he said it'll be as soon as possible. He said he will shoot for that, but he's not sure if he'll make it for the 17th.
Okay.
He said he will. That would be it. They have to. A system will have to release someone under contract.
Okay.
And they, you know, 2 weeks is normal.
So the 17th, or we think it might be the 17th.
That was what was actually written in the contract, but it's not a done deal. It's whenever his system releases him.
Okay, so he may not even be here by the 24th. We don't even know that yet.
He feels like he will. I did talk to him. He feels like he will, and he said he would definitely be here to discuss it, but on that evening. But he feels sure he'll be here. They'll release him by then.
If it's okay if I interject, if he is not here by the 24th, I do not feel that we can delay this conversation. I hate to say that because I want him to be here for every conversation, but I feel so strongly about this topic that we need to have this conversation immediately. So, you know, the 24th is the latest date I would like, or the 25th, Monday or Tuesday, are the latest dates that I'd like to see us set this. That's my opinion.
Just another quick question. Has Dr. McQueen put a deadline on us?
So yesterday, in the session, she mentioned, and she actually, this was on the news and several other places too, but she did mention that she was give us until mid-August or August in our board meeting in August, because initially when she came in May, and I don't know if this is why or not, but I just remember when she came in May, we asked for an extension so that we could have a superintendent in place, and that would have been in July. Well, we're now into July, and we meet next Thursday, and you know, we are at this point. So I think from her observation, I'm assuming, and this is an assumption, I rarely do this, but I'm assuming that's probably why she has extended it to August. That's all I heard yesterday in the discussion. In the discussion with the community members, I do want to echo what Tiffany says. I personally feel like this is a this meeting and this work session or this series, the beginning of this, is long overdue, because we are, I feel, elected to address the education and the academic lives of students in Hamilton County, and I don't see anything more pertinent than the academic life sustainability of 2,300 kids who have been in systems, but have been in this system in a set of schools that have been on a list since 2002. So, like Tiffany, I would love for Dr. Johnson to be here, but I do think this is long overdue, and so if he is not able to be here, it doesn't mean, I'm pretty sure he will make himself available another kind of way, maybe via conference call or something, because it seemed like from a conversation with him that he would try to be wherever he needed to be or make means to do that. But I do think we need to get this discussion going, because the community, I get a lot of feedback from the community wanting to know where the board stands in this, because it's kind of like, the community is sharing how they feel in various aspects, but they're not hearing from the nine-member body.
Well, part of that is we can't, with the Sunshine Law, we can't discuss it unless we have...
No. I'm not saying that. Sunshine. I'm saying that, like, I know for me, and I know for Tiffany, several of us have stated over this dais how we felt about things, and some people just have not said anything. You can't make people talk, but I do think that if every kid in Hamilton County belongs to all nine of us, then we need to start having serious conversations.
Mr. Highlander, if I may say so.
Yes, sir.
You know, we're going to meet on the 21st. If this is an urgent matter, that's time to talk about it. But Mr. Highlander, you can call a work session anytime you want. Just let us know. But it's a good chance I will not be there on the 24th.
We can do the 21st.
But 21st is when we're going to meet on
the
21st.
The 20th, I'm sorry. The 20th,
Dr. Johnson cannot be there on the 20th.
Well, he may not be, but we can.
Okay.
That's my, if it's urgent, talk about it. We're going to meet on the 20th, so let's do it then.
We could.
Yeah. Skype time.
We're really good with Skype, aren't we?
He has an obligation, I think, with his on the 20th, that he said he could not be here on the 20th, but that's why we were looking at the 24th.
Okay.
Well, trying to include him.
Having a work session on the 20th works for me, but I'm gonna want to.
I think it needs to be continuous conversation.
Yeah, it's gonna have to. We're gonna this. Yeah, there's gonna be a lot that we need to.
It's gonna be continuous. Okay.
So. So it's at the will of the board then to put that on the agenda for the board meeting on the 20th?
No, I think it should be a work session. Like, I don't think it should be in board meeting.
A work session prior to
work session before the board meeting.
You
okay.
We started at 4.
4 or 4:30? What do we need? How long do we need?
Prefer 4:30.
That'll give you an hour before the regular. Is that enough?
Just 4:30.
We're not planning on executive session. 4:30 would give us an hour.
4:30, I think, is what it is.
So we will plan a work session. And then from then we may move on to another one as well. And we'll let Dr. Johnson know that if he can be in attendance, that he will, but it's my understanding that he had a conflict on that day. But if he can work it out, I'm sure he will. Whether he's released by the system or not, he would still be under, you know, he would still have been approved as our superintendent. Okay. So we'll do that, ma'am. Work session 4:30 on the 20th. Thank you all for your diligence. And Mr. Bennett, thank you for all you've done. Any other comments from anyone that we need? Any announcements? Dismissed.